is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could join us. In this week's cover article, we continue with our discussion of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Along with his co-host, Jim McCarthy, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about himself, about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio partner for today's program is Jim McCarthy, the author of The Gospel According to Rome and Letters Between a Catholic and an Evangelical, producer of the video Catholicism Crisis of Faith, and head of the ministry Good News for Catholics. Jim, thanks for joining me on today's program.
I appreciate you having me on your show, Tom.
And we've been going through the book of Romans for quite a while now, but again, the program is called According to God's Word, and this is really where we want to spend our time, pointing out not what you have to say or what I have to say, but what God's Word says, because if we don't have God's Word, what have we got? We've just got the opinions of men, right, Jim?
Well, that's about right, Tom. And we live in an age where there's so many religions, so many different isms and ologies and ideas about living that I really find for myself and for my family, I'm just drawn all the more to go back to the scriptures, to the writings of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to say, what do they say? Just so I have that anchor and stability in my life and not be just carried along by everything that comes up.
Mm-hmm. Along that line, Jim, this is God's Word, and we can prove that. All you have to do is look to prophecy in the Bible and so many other things that the Bible presents. It's just got to be God's Word. For example, just its perspective on mankind. It's not a very high view of man, and so therefore it wouldn't necessarily be a book that man would write. So we just want to encourage our listeners, search the Scriptures. We will go over many of the Scriptures, but we want you to check them out yourself. Make sure that we are true to God's Word. And again, the nice thing about turning to one source, that is God's Word, is that it's objective. Jim, we might have some differences on an interpretation of a verse, but we can keep going back and we keep asking the question, what's God's mind here? What is he telling us? And as you mentioned, yes, it was written by men, but they were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Bible claims, and it can prove that. It does prove it.
I could just encourage the listeners on something as well, Tom. I think it's one of the lies of Satan that the Bible is something very difficult to understand, and only theologians and scholars and clergy can really grasp its meaning. And that's just not true. The Bible is written by very simple men, men who were in the trades. They were people who were fishermen. And it's written to just regular people, not to PhDs and scholars, but to just regular Christians living in towns like Corinth and Ephesus and Colossae.
Right.
And if people of the first century could write this and understand it, why can't we understand it today? It's really not that difficult. People are usually surprised when they take up the Bible and really start to read it, particularly the New Testament, trying to understand it. If they come with the right attitude before God, it's quite achievable.
Right. And this book that we've been going through, this is the book of Romans, Paul's epistle to the Romans, and it's really the book of theology, of doctrine. It really explains the gospel, which is absolutely critical. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Paul lays it out for us. You begin with the gospel. Once you understand the gospel, have received the gospel, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He will help you to understand the scriptures. So that's our encouragement. That's what we want all who are listening to our voices to do. That's the way God would have you go about it. Jim, we left off at Romans chapter 14. And we're going to pick up with verse 13. But before we get into that, I just want to say that the book of Romans is really interesting. It lays out the gospel that we're sinners, that we can't save ourselves, that salvation is not by works, but it's by God's grace. And we have to receive it by faith. And once we receive it, then we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to live our lives in a way that pleases the Lord. And he lays out in the Scriptures. Jim, you mentioned the New Testament especially. There are things there that we are to do, not for salvation. God accomplished that himself for us. It's a gift of God. But once we receive that gift, then we are to walk in a way that is pleasing to him. And he lays out a lot of things that we are to do to be a blessing, to be fruitful in our lives, to be an encouragement to others. And these are the particulars, and we're going to pick up with verse 13 that talks about how we're to live as Christians. Verse 13 says, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now, Jim, the idea of judging and not judging, that confuses a lot of Christians. What is Paul getting at here?
Well, we had a variety kind of Christians in those days, just like we do today, and some were very strong in their faith and knowledgeable and understood the balance between being under grace and yet being under the law of liberty and law of love. And others had a lot of old religious trappings where they kind of lived their life through legalism, lots of do's and don'ts and restrictions, and particularly those who had Jewish backgrounds found it hard to realize that all the food restrictions and separation from Gentiles and things like these were no longer applicable to them as Christians, that now they were one with the Gentile Christians, that God had declared all foods clean. Yet they're still living in a real world where pagan worship is all around. Food sacrifice to idols was a big issue because most of the meat that was available in the markets and so on had been offered to some pagan idol. And so they're trying to deal with these things, but people are coming to different conclusions. One man's showing great liberty and freedom from this. Another man has lots of scruples that he thinks are important, and others don't. And so there's conflict. And Paul here in chapter 14 is trying to sort some of this out and cause them to be careful in the exercise of their freedoms, not to cause another person to stumble, not to allow their scruples about food, what they can eat, what they can't eat, cause another Christian, whom Christ died for, to become confused and flustered and upset.
And the issue here is, it's not a judgment of doctrine. It's not a judgment of things that the Bible clearly lays out. I think it has more to do with the person's conscience. There's some people who say, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that. Or, in other words, they are immature in the faith and they haven't really resolved these particular issues. Well, as we're going to find out as we read through here, the conscience of a person, whatever you do, you have to do by faith. And if your conscience is troubling you and you go against your conscience to do something, you're going to bring guilt upon yourself. So that's the stumbling that it's talking about, that a strong believer, somebody who understands these things, has been walking with the Lord, and when they show with maybe some contempt, I think that's what the judging here in verse 13 means, that you are putting somebody down or being contemptuous of them. It does not have to do, again, with judging doctrine or judging sin in a person's life. The Scriptures tell us that we are to do that, especially for somebody who professes to be a believer in Christ. Verse 14, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." Again, we're referring to a person's conscience, not to the actuality or the reality of whether something's, you know, he's allowed to do it or not allowed to do it. Again, regarding food and so on, 1 Timothy 4:5 says, "For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." In other words, all things are clean before us. We're not under either the legalism of Judaism, or for those who are Gentiles, they ought not to have been caught up with regard to things that were sacrificed to idols, because idols are nothing.
That's correct, Tom. Paul, for himself, had great liberty. He was a very mature Christian who understood the freedoms we have in Christ, and he felt free to fellowship with Gentile Christians, to eat various types of meats that had originally been forbidden to him as a Jew. But what he's bringing out here in verse 14 is that's not true of everybody. There's some Christians who think some things are still unclean. Their conscience is maybe misinformed. And for that person, it'd be wrong for them just to go ahead and eat it as if there was no significance. It'd be wrong for Paul to press his freedom upon another who didn't understand it and have him violate his conscience. And so it's teaching us to be real sensitive to where other people are at in their walk with God and their maturity, and to respect the fact that they may have different scruples than we do.
Right. Verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, that is, not in love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. That reminds me in 1 Corinthians, Jim, verse 10, I think it's around 23, it says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man's another's wealth. And, of course, we're talking about their welfare, spiritual welfare. And that's what Paul is really getting at in all of this. Love has to reign. We're not to show contempt for a weaker brother and so on, but we want to encourage them. In other words, we're other-directed. We look out for the welfare of others, even if it takes some sacrifice on our part to give up something, or, you know, knowing that we have the liberty, but we just deal with it in a loving way, I think.
I totally agree, Tom. And, you know, in our times when everybody just feels like, well, I can do whatever I want. If somebody doesn't like it, they can get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not love, is it?
No.
Love is really asking what's better for the other person, not myself.
Right. Verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jim, you made a point earlier that Paul is, when he's writing to the Romans, there are Gentiles, pagans basically, or pagans before they came to know the Lord. And there were those legalists of the Jewish faith, and that's a mix, isn't it? First of all, it was difficult for the Jews really to accept the Gentiles because they had been separated from them for so long and didn't recognize, really, until Paul and others began to minister to the Gentiles. So it was difficult in that mix, and there was a tendency to be self-righteous, to be arrogant, even on both sides, with regard to where they were coming from. But love has to supersede that, without compromise, obviously.
That's right, Tom. And the point that's being brought out here is you may be thinking you're doing something good, but in the way you're doing it, it's being spoken of evil. That's what verse 16 says. And in verse 15, it could actually result in hurting another Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is bringing out that in the economy of love, your conduct, how it affects others, is more important than whether your conduct is simply right or wrong. Simply being able to justify and say, well, I'm able to do this or I'm free to do this is not enough. You have to ask, are you free to do it in the present context? How will it affect others that are around you? And that's a very important question.
Right. And verse 18 brings at least this part to a close. It says, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. We're dealing with brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we have to love them and bless them, minister to them, encourage them, in some cases exhort, but certainly encourage them in the faith, help them to grow to maturity.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Jim address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Jim, this listener writes, I have a friend who I thought understood the gospel since we went to Christian school together, yet he is seriously considering converting to the Roman Catholic faith. What can I say to him to persuade him otherwise? And I like the way this person starts out. I thought he understood the gospel. That's critical right there, don't you think, Jim? If somebody's fuzzy on that, even if they went to Christian school, you got to get back to that and at least ask questions. How would you approach this?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways you could approach this, Tom, but I think that the Roman Catholic Church is the right place for a lot of people.
Whoa, there's a loaded answer. Go ahead.
Well, if you think about it, Tom, in Roman Catholicism, it offers a way to God through a priesthood, through a church, through sacraments. It promises salvation to those who are baptized and live exemplary lives, keeping the commandments, receiving the sacraments, cooperating with grace, and persevering to the end. And if a person thinks they can do those things and believes that's how they'd like to approach God, the Roman Catholic Church is probably the best place to do it.
Well, plus,
I tried it for myself for about 25 years, though. And
well, Jim, let me add this. Plus, you get liturgies, you get incense, you get all kinds of rituals.
It's rich in art and music, ritual for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they have beautiful churches. They've got an ancient history. There's a lot to be said if that's how you want to approach God. But, you know, I tried that for 25 years of my life.
30 for me.
30 for you. And I couldn't do it, Tom. I kept failing. I kept finding myself getting worse, not better. I found myself guilty before God and a sinner. And as I looked at what Catholicism was offering me, which was basically salvation through faith and good works, I couldn't do it. And I was really happy to be able to find an option. I was invited to a home Bible study sponsored by a little church where I heard a gospel of salvation through faith in Christ alone. And verses like Romans 4:5, which says, "But to the one who does not work, but who believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness." I found a form of Christianity where it's all what Christ has done and nothing what we've done. That sounded too good to be true, you know, when I first heard about it, that salvation by grace through faith in what Christ has done on the cross. But as I began reading the Bible, I just found so much confirmation of it. I went that direction. So I'd say to this person, talk to your friend and ask him how he thinks he's going to get there, and if he can live a good enough life, more power to him. But if he's honest with himself and realizes, like Jeremiah says, that all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy rag, maybe he should go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, for some of our listeners out there saying, well, wait a minute, is he offering us an option here? Where does truth fit into your response? You said you began to read the Word of God. At first you thought, is it just by faith, and then I'm in? And
well, that's a really good question, too, Tom, because, again, it's good we have the Catholic Church, because in Roman Catholicism, you're given truth through Scripture and tradition. In other words, through the written Word of God, which the Catholic Church says is inspired and inerrant, and through the tradition of the Roman Catholic Church, the message of Christ passed down in unwritten forms through the centuries. The other option is to base your faith upon the written Word of God alone, to say that the writings and teachings and ideas of men might be good, but they might be wrong as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you end up with two very different conclusions. As I said, one, through Scripture and tradition, you end up through faith and good works lead to salvation. When a person just goes to the Bible only, I think they end up with salvation through faith alone in Christ. So, again, you got two very different approaches. And I kind of gave up on men. I just feel like there's so much hypocrisy, that people are so untrustworthy, that I'd rather just go with the teaching of God's Word and bet my soul on that, not tradition.
Jim, going back to the question of this person, the writer says this person who's considering converting to the Roman Catholic Church, it went to Christian school and so on. Now, my guess would be, my hopeful guess would be, at least sometime they heard the gospel and they recognized, I assume this is an evangelical school that they went to, that they recognized that works don't get you into heaven. But the problem today, it seems to me, is that Roman Catholicism has become so superficially evangelical that there's language, oh yeah, well, I'm saved by grace and I'm born again, all those kinds of things that confuse a lot of people. So here's my point. I would encourage, I thought yours was coming out of left field, but you explained it well, Jim. I think this might come out of left field, some may think, as well. And that is, I would recommend that this person go through the rite of Christian initiation for adults, which is the way a adult converts to Roman Catholicism. And the reason I would recommend that is because if somebody has it in their mind that, works can't save me, I just want to join the church, I believe in the Lord, and I'm interested in its history and all of these things, well, you're basically on probation trying to get into the Roman Catholic Church before you're even baptized. And it could go on for years, right, Jim?
Well, that's right.
There are all kinds of works that you need to do to prove yourself worthy to get into the Roman Catholic Church.
Well, and that's consistent with its whole approach to
salvation.
It is a good program, and I agree with you, Tom. I encourage people who want to get into Catholicism, really study its doctrine, read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and then read your Bible and compare them. And if
right.
you find them the same, well, then you're in the right place.
Right. Jim, I mentioned to you before, there's a book that you wrote that I just think is absolutely terrific. It's called The Gospel According to Rome. And when I teach classes to instruct evangelicals about Roman Catholicism, this is the book that I go to. And if you're not familiar with the rite, it's actually called The Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, but it's actually the rite of of Catholics initiation. It's the catechumate, right? It's what you need to know before you'll be accepted to be baptized as a Roman Catholic. And you lay it out really well in that book. So the book's called The Gospel According to Rome by James G. McCarthy, and you can pick it up at your Christian bookstore. It's from Harvest House Publishers, Eugene, Oregon, but as I said, I'm sure you can get it through your Christian bookstore. If they don't have it, they can order it for you. But it's such an important book, Jim, and it's so important in these days for evangelicals to understand what Catholics believe, so they're not confused or deluded or even seduced by the idea that Catholics are just no different than evangelicals. They have another gospel, a gospel that is by works. Their beliefs reject the gospel of God, whether it be indulgences or purgatory or the Eucharist, the sacrifice of the Mass. These are all contrary to the Word of God. And if somebody said, well, wait a minute, how can I be sure of that? Well, do what Jim suggested. Check out what Catholics believe and then look to the Word of God and see if it bears out, if it supports the gospel of Rome.
If you have questions for Tom and his guests to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. The Apostle John, in Revelation 17, describes in detail characteristics of a beast which comes in the last days. Virtually all attention these days is focused on the coming Antichrist, but he is only half the story. Many are amazed to discover that that same passage reveals another mysterious character at the heart of prophecy. A woman who rides the beast. Who is this woman? John depicts her as a false church, which will be a partner of the Antichrist. Tradition says she is connected with the Church of Rome. But isn't such a view outdated? After all, today's Vatican is eager to join hands with Protestants worldwide. We are told the Catholic Church has changed. Or has it? In A Woman Rides the Beast, prophecy expert Dave Hunt sifts through biblical truth and global events to present a well-defined portrait of this woman and her powerful place in the Antichrist future empire. 8 remarkable clues in Revelation prove the woman's identity beyond any reasonable doubt. Was John describing the Church of Rome? To answer this question, Dave has spent years in historical research, primarily from Catholic sources, and provides indisputable documentation. Video host, author, and lecturer Dave Hunt.
There's over 500 pages and about 800 footnotes, I think, of documentation that will surprise perhaps even Catholics, as well as non-Catholics, as to the official teaching and practices of the Roman Catholic Church, its history, what it really has stood for and stands for today. I'm not making it up. I think it is worthwhile. I think it is something you need to read.
A Woman Rides the Beast. The book and the video are available from the Berean Call. Information on how to order in just a moment. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer a wide selection of teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 4404. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you can join us again next week for According to God's Word.